Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.
Well, hello and welcome to Engage for Success Radio. My name is Jo Moffitt and I'm one of the regular hosts of today's show. Just to say, we're having one or two technical issues with our guests. So bear with me one moment while we're just trying to bring them in to the show now. So here we have one. So that looks like we've got one of them with us. Bear with me.
Hello.
Bear with me. Hello. Hi. You're live on air with Engage for Success. Who am I speaking with?
Dr. Bob Nelson.
Hello. Dr. Bob, hello, welcome. Welcome to the show. I think you were having a little bit of trouble connecting.
Yes.
Yes.
Not to worry.
You're here now, which is the main thing. I was literally just welcoming our listeners. So I'm very pleased that you are here because I was filling time and not filling time terribly well. So are we hoping to be joined by your colleague and co-author, Mario?
I thought he was, but we will see, I guess.
We will see. Well, let's see how we go. It's a pleasure to have you with us. So by way of introductions to you and to our listeners, today is a radio show number 445 from Engage for Success. And today we're going to be talking about allowing employees to have more fun at work. And for those who are new listeners and aren't too familiar with who Engage for Success are, we are a not-for-profit movement and we're the UK's leading voice on the topic of employee engagement. We're raising awareness and running events through our area networks, both around the country in the UK, but also globally through virtual media as well. And also we have topic and sector specific thought and action groups who are developing research, publishing case studies, and primarily shining a light on great practice. You can visit us at engageforsuccess.org to learn more, where you can also sign up for our weekly newsletter to be kept in the loop of everything that we're doing, including our weekly radio shows. And I'm one of the co-hosts. My name's Jo Moffitt. I'm MD and founder of Woodread. And as with everyone who's involved in Engage for Success, we are all volunteers. So we all do what we do for the movement alongside our day job. And as managing director and founder of Woodread, which is a specialist creative agency, I'm involved in using the tools, the techniques, and the insight-led approach of the advertising and marketing world to help our clients create great places to work, high-performing cultures of engaged employees. So today's special guest is Dr. Bob Nelson, known as Dr. Bob. So welcome to you, and he is co-author of Work Made Fun Gets Done, which promises easy ways to boost energy, morale and results. And we're going to be exploring that topic a little bit more over the next half an hour. And I've just had a week's holiday, so I'm very keen for the topic of the first show that I'm hosting since I got back to be all about fun. So it's very timely, Dr. Bob. So can we start off, just tell us a little bit about your background. And I know you've authored a lot of books in your time, haven't you?
Yes. In fact, the previous one to this book I authored is probably even more on target for your program. It's 1,001 Ways to Engage Employees.
Right.
All my books kind of speak to the same cut of the cloth of how to get a better involvement, engagement, performance from employees, make them more happy so that they stay working longer at a higher level.
Mm-hmm.
So it's my whole career has been kind of devoted to that topic, and each book is a different piece of the puzzle.
Piece of the puzzle that all fits together to provide the evidence and share examples. And I think we're going to be talking about some of those examples during the course of today's show, aren't we? So lovely. So what's your background? I know you've got a PhD, haven't you, and you're president of Nelson Motivation. Have you always worked in this sector?
Yes, actually, I worked for several corporations in human resources, mm-hmm. and after I got my MBA, and then I got my PhD in the topic of human behavior. My MBA was on organizational development.
Uh-huh.
And so I've kind of always pointed in this direction to been fascinated by what motivates people and how you can mm-hmm. impact that equation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of organizations think that money is the end-all answer, and that's a piece of it, but it's not the end-all. In fact, it's not even the highest motivator. I find from my research that, for example, the younger generation, the millennials,
mm-hmm.
And Gen Z, they 88% say money is not their top motivator. In fact,
yes.
78% say they would work harder if challenged. not if you pay me more, I'll work harder, but if you challenge me and we're in it together, we have a discussion, you involve me, you ask me for my ideas and suggestions. 92% of employees today say they'd like to be asked for their ideas and input.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have a good one, give them permission to pursue it. Who's going to have
yes.
more energy for an idea than the person that came up with it, right?
And, yeah, absolutely.
And 89% of today's employees say they would like to be involved in decisions where they work, especially those decisions that impact the job that they're supposed to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm.
Again,
yep.
kind of common sense. Why not ask them what they think? And even if you're the boss and you say, well, I've got to make the decisions, I'm being paid for that, you can say, I know it'll be a better decision if I get your input.
Mm.
That's why I want to know what you think. You're closer to the job and maybe the customer, and it will be a better decision, and it'll be easier to implement if you've
yeah.
gotten people's input.
Absolutely.
So,
no, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, it's interesting. One of the at Engage for Success, the sort of initial research that was on which this movement was founded, looked at organizations with highly engaged workforces and identified what we call the four enablers of engagement. And one of those, there's sort of four common traits that organizations with highly engaged workforces share. And one of those is we call employee voice. And people often think that means doing a survey every year or even, you know, a quarterly pulse survey or something. But it's so much more than that, isn't it? It is about
yes.
saying that the answers to your business challenges more often than not rest in the hands of your people. They've got the ideas. The people who are working at the front line are the ones who can make recommendations and suggestions as to how processes can be improved and all that kind of thing. So, yeah.
Absolutely. What are your three other points?
The first one is around having, and this plays to your point about millennials actually wanting to sort of be engaged with the direction of the organization. So the first one is around a strong strategic narrative or being able to tell a good story about where the organization has come from and where it's going. So it's all around purpose and having a leadership team who can articulate that purpose effectively. The second one is the role of the line manager. So being able to sort of coach and stretch and encourage rather than micromanage. The third one is around employee voice, as I say. And then the fourth one is around organizational integrity, which means that your values are not just words on a poster on a wall, but they are actively lived on a day-to-day basis by everyone from the most senior leaders to the newest recruits, basically.
Excellent.
I'm sure there's a huge amount of synergy with the kind of stuff that you're talking about. So let's talk about
yes.
fun, because you know it's one of those things, isn't it, that people can get quite sniffy about and sort of say, well, you know, work isn't about having fun. But I want to hear why it matters. Before we talk about why it matters, is what have you seen much change over the last 2 years because of the pandemic? Has that changed people's views about fun? You know, has it become more important, less important?
Well, I think Well, I guess since I wrote a book on it, I'd have to say more important, but I think we wrote this book before the pandemic was expected.
Yeah.
So it was already kind of a tough sell topic because, the typical executive or company owner would say, well, here's an idea. Let people have fun on the weekend. I'm paying them to work, And so
it was very dismissive.
And,
yeah.
Yeah. And then with the pandemic, it's like, well, we don't have time for that. Look, are you kidding me? All hands on deck. We're in crisis.
Put the fun aside until afterwards. Yeah. How do you convince them then, Dr. Bob? What is the argument? And presumably, clearly this was a rationale for writing the book in the first place, even before the pandemic reared its ugly head for us all.
Yeah. Well, the way I try to convince them is to say, well, we're not talking about fun instead of work. We're talking about fun embedded in work. So how you thank people when they do a good job, which is critical for people to be motivated. How you celebrate successes of the department or the company. How you involve people, which we were talking about. How you handle, for example, mistakes when they're made, because mistakes get made all the time, and you can embarrass the person. You can in front of their peers. They probably already know they made a mistake. You can make them feel worse for something they did wrong, or you could take a breath and say, I'm not sure we have done it the same way, but what did you learn from that? And focus on the long-term relationship of that individual employee instead of the momentary ego of you being right and catching them doing something wrong, and which tends to be often the tendency to prove that. As a manager, you're the smartest person in the room, and here you messed up here and there, and customer complained about this. You could do all that, but what's it going to gain you? You could drive a wedge. You're going to drive the person out of the organization, which was a lot of that happened.
Yes,
is happening now in the Great Resignation. So on that note, Bill Gates, former chairman of Microsoft, he once said, you can tell a lot about the long-term viability of any organization simply by looking at how they handle mistakes. Because if you embarrass people, then they won't make that mistake again. But what you lose from them, you may never get back. But they're going to hit it just a little less hard. They could be less motivated. And such is the case. So instead, what you can do to learn from mistakes and look at the silver lining is going to be a lot more beneficial for that relationship and for everyone, because we all can learn from the mistake. And that's a great mistake. Actually, my co-author Mario, he worked for me, and we were in product development for a company, and one of his first projects, he made a mistake. It turned out he kind of thought he might be fired. It was like a $10,000 mistake,
it was an expensive mistake.
and I said, well, mistakes happen. What did you? I said you'll never make that mistake again. No, I won't. And he never did. And that voting with the person over the issue. We did lose some money, but in terms of it being a learning point, a training, it was worth the money because he went forward with greater diligence in things that maybe he wasn't looking at before. So it goes.
Yeah.
Are you working for, as you mentioned, a micromanager or someone that is really on your side helping you win and be your best and has your best interest at heart?
For
today and tomorrow.
Okay.
Maybe we show that through our behaviors on a day-to-day basis.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So how do you define fun? I mean, you know, it sounds quite a broad church from what you're talking about there. How would you define it?
Yes, actually, that's kind of funny because that was actually one of the my biggest learnings in the project. Because if you had asked me before I started this project, how do you define fun? I go, well, that's easy. It's when you're laughing, you're having fun. You know what?
Yeah.
You know, but if you ask my wife, what's fun for her at involving her work, she would, and I have, and she says, well, fun is when you get home after a day at work and you got a lot done. That was a fun day. I go, mm-hmm. Really? and as it turned out, every person that we interviewed for this book, and we collected thousands of examples and hundreds of interviews, mm-hmm. no two people define fun the same way.
Really?
Which really surprised me, but it really encouraged me too, because that means if it has a very broad definition, then here's an idea. This is something I think is fun today in our work team meeting, and then next week we'll do something you think is fun, you know?
Yeah.
And then it reaches the topic for everybody.
Yeah, sure. So when you were doing your research, that was when you were also uncovering the examples and the stories that I'll be asking you to share some with us. Is that right? Is that where they all came from?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it
yeah.
came from okay. interviews. We surveyed clients, and then we did secondary research in published examples and articles. So once we got a clear focus of what we're looking for, and we came up with, I think it was about 17 different categories of mm-hmm. fun that examples mm-hmm. fell into. And so as we looked for those, it was a very diverse mix. And that's,
okay.
that's part of the value I see in the books I do anyway. I always use real examples with specifics and why did someone do it and what happened and what resulted, you know, and maybe a quote from them, but they had this problem, they tried this, and then it worked better, or maybe it worked worse, and they learned from example it went bad, you know. But
yeah, so that's what I'd like you to share with me. Share with us some of those in a moment. But before we get to that, whose responsibility is it to make work fun? Is it the individual? Is it the manager? Is it the senior leadership? Where does the sort of responsibility for creating that kind of culture lie, do you think?
I feel it lies with every employee, because mm-hmm. otherwise you sit around and you wait for someone else to do something. Why does my manager do something? Or you know, you say our executive is never going to allow us to do something fun, you know? And so mm-hmm, then you're kind mm-hmm. of dead in the water before you even get going. So instead, if think about how they can bring fun into the work they're doing right now, and if they're working with others, how they can bring fun into that setting, in that meeting or that mm-hmm. conversation or that task, you know, mm-hmm. then you're in the game, and then you can experiment. And you can leverage, you know, if something works, you can repeat it. If you could, mm-hmm. again, involve someone else and see what they would like to do, that would be fun to them. So take a simple example. Like mm-hmm. in the book, we had a CEO interviewed. He said, well, a couple times a year we tried to do a company event for morale and to have, you know, for teamwork and to build a team. So and he said that, and I decide what we're going to do, and no matter what we do, it never seems to work very well. People complain that the timing's wrong, the what I thought would be fun, they didn't think was fun, and, mm-hmm. and this guy did it a number of years, and then he had another executive, you know, give it a try, and he had the same results, and so he's kind of stuck, and so he did something he never did before. He asked a younger person in the organization, would they like to take it on? And yes, they would, actually. And they use social media tools to survey people what they'd be interested in, and then a calendar to find the best timing. And they ended up, he came up with a list of like three or four things, and the CEO got to, you know, review them for veto power, but they're all pretty good. And they ended up doing something that they'd never done before, and people loved it. It was great.
Right.
They did, it turned out it was a one of these things where you go to a medieval show, and they have a show, and they serve drumsticks, turkey legs, rather. And people are dressed up, and kids loved it, families loved it, everyone loved it. So now, you could either do that again, or you could have that person come up with another one. They did a great job, and then that variety keeps it fresh. And otherwise, you're kind of, you know, if it's not your cup of tea, don't force it. Back up and have someone else try it. So I thought that was a good approach on the topic that they had he knew that there's some benefit. Maybe he couldn't quantify it, but he companies need to do stuff like this. Now what we did in the book is we took it out of that fuzzy notion of, well, this is a positive thing, you should do it, and we actually did research. We looked at the best places to work in America research. Mm-hmm. Fortune magazine publishes a list of 100 best companies to work for in America each year, and we looked at their data. And we found that for employees that work at those companies that are on that list of best places to work in America, 82% of employees that work for those companies say it's a fun place to work. And we compared that with the thousands of companies that applied for that award but didn't win. Mm-hmm. And in that case, it was only 62% said that they work in a fun place. So that differential, that 20-point differential, is actually one of the largest in their research, defining the best companies from the also-rans was the element of fun. So suddenly, if you want to be a great place to work, you need to be a fun place to work.
It goes hand in hand. Yeah. And you said you kind of identified 17 different categories of fun. Can you share some of those with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And the book has specifically over 400 specific examples that we collected from different individuals and companies. But we have four broad categories that four sections of the book. And the first was on going back to your question. Fun has to start with you. You can't sit around and wait for someone else to make your job fun. You got to make your own job fun. And so it starts with whatever task you're doing, what are some things to make it lighter, easier. For example, a lot of people, most everyone has some rote routine and boring stuff they've got to do as part of their job. It's just inherent in almost all jobs. There's some things that you don't, expense reports, for example, or something like that. And so that's something you put off doing, or, if you got a task like that, then make a game out of it. Set a timer for 20 minutes and see how fast you can finish it, and dig in.
Right.
Would be one example. Or I know a woman that she just, very, very, very simple, very minor, but it has an impact on her. She has her to-do list, and we all have to-do list, things we're trying to get done each day. She labels her to-do list her fun list. It just kind of sets the tone as she gets to do this. She doesn't have to do this. She gets to do it, and people pay her to do it. That she enjoys what she's doing. And that's a simple thing. Other strategies like that are people say, they make a thing about when they finish something, they will, crumple it up and throw it in the trash, and that makes them feel good about that, having made that accomplishment. So there's lots of little things there or you finish a task and you reward yourself.
Yeah.
And that could be taking a break, it could be taking a walk, it could be going and it could be calling a friend, it could be shopping online, but you do something to reward yourself for having finished a task that was difficult or one you're putting off. So that's a lot of examples along the individual things you can do. And then we have, if you're the leader of a group, you've got more ability to impact the agenda and what we're doing. So we have a whole section on things the leaders could do, and then a section on a team-based oriented fun that we're all tend to work with groups of people on different things. And for any, even if it's a temporary project, you know, you can set the rules for how we're going to work together, and that can include ways we're going to have fun, such as how we're going to celebrate if you're successful. That's a very simple thing to discuss. Hey, this is quite a challenge that we're putting up for ourselves. If we get it done on the timeline, what are we going to do to celebrate? Wow, yeah. That's and come up with something that's motivating to the whole team, and then that's going to be an added incentive for doing the job on time or doing a good job. And then the final bucket that was one of the largest was things that you can do at an organizational level to institute fun as an ongoing thing. So, for example, there the president of Belmont College in Nashville, Tennessee, he did a year sabbatical that he visited and studied high-performing companies. And he came back and he said one of the things that he realized with all these companies that he looked at was they were all fun places to work. And he said, we need to have more fun here in our college. And so he created a fun committee, took volunteers, he gave them gave them leeway to come up with things that are fun when morale is low, for example, or when we have things to celebrate, do a campus-wide celebration. What can we do to have fun? And they loved it. And so by making that one step of creating a formal committee to focus on fun, they were constantly brainstorming ideas, and they'd prioritize, and off they went.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, do people not – I'm being devil's advocate here, okay, Bob. So, but do people feel a little bit of kind of compulsory fun or enforced fun is the kind of kiss to death sometimes, though, isn't it?
Well, yes. You can't force fun on someone. And that's, I worked at a company that where the CEO, we're gonna do something fun together. We're gonna all go out golfing together, and for him that was fun because he, golfed a couple times a week.
Yeah.
For most everyone else, they were terror struck. It's like, I'm a lousy golfer. I never golf. I'm gonna look like a fool. I don't know what to wear. I don't have the equipment. And how can I get out of this, And so now as it turned out, that CEO, he made it a more engaging activity. So instead of a big competition, everyone against each other, that everyone worked in teams. And so they did what's called a scramble, where everyone would hit the ball and then you play the best ball that was hit. And so then you've got to strategize as a group on, well, who's better at putting and who's better at driving. And each hole, you had to use one of everybody had a shot at each hole that had to be used. So all of a sudden it changed the nature of the game, and now it's more of a team effort. So that made it more fun because they're really doing it to allow people to get to know each other better.
Yeah, sure.
Who cares about who wins,
Absolutely. Change the dynamic, really. So we've got less than a minute left, Dr. Bob, I'm afraid. These calls, these shows always fly by. So a really quick point in closing. I mean, you were saying there's lots and lots of examples in your book. So let's just give you the chance to give it a quick plug at the end. How do people get hold of your book?
Well, they have it wherever books are sold, or you can order it from my website has a online store. My website's www.drbobnelson.com. That's drbobnelson.com. So we've got that in all my books, in fact, at discounted prices on the website. But, I'll just end with one other simple example, because so many people have been working, you know, from home or remotely and continue to do so even now. And so next time you have a Zoom call, you could go around, before you dig into the agenda, just go around the group and say, before we start our meeting, I'd like to just, as I call each person's name in our work team here, like everyone else, to call out what they most value about working with that person. I call this the praise barrage. And
okay.
It only takes go around your group, and maybe it took 10 minutes to do that, but everyone then now has gotten positive feedback from those people they work with. It's going to make them feel better. It's going to make the team a more cohesive unit. And whatever people have been called out for, I guarantee they will do more of that, because what gets recognized gets repeated.
That's
a simple one that
anyone
can do, and even if you're working online or on Zoom all the time.
Lovely. Okay, we're going to get cut off now, I'm afraid, Dr. Bob. So thank you to Dr. Bob Nelson, author of Work Made Fun Gets Done, for joining us today. And thank you for listening to Engage with Success Radio. And don't forget, you can download or stream any of the great shows from our archive by visiting engagewithsuccess.org. Similarly, if you want to get involved in the movement as a volunteer, we'd love to hear from you there as well. So thank you very much, Dr. Bob. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Jill.
Goodbye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there's a better way to work.